Welcome to the Smashy Business Show, everyone. I am Ward Ahmed, and I have someone really special with me today. Please welcome Nadir to the show.
Hi.
How are you feeling today?
Well. It's a bit chilly today, but
it is.
All well.
It is so cold. It's so cold.
As you guys can see, we're well prepared for the cold.
We are back to business for 2025. I feel like New Year's, it's still here. It's definitely still here.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like it's... the first actual Monday of New Year's.
Yeah, it is. And I'm sure everyone is back to business. We're back to everything.
How everyone is back
weekend?
To school as well.
Yeah. How was your weekend?
I'm really happy seeing my brother going to school because he had like the winter vacation off. And,
and you didn't have one.
I didn't have one. So I was kind of glad seeing him waking up early this morning.
Oh my God. But my weekend, I actually visited a really cool event this weekend.
Really?
I went for something called El Marmoum Film in the Desert. So it was actually their fourth edition, and every single year they have it in El Marmoum. It's like a film festival where they host, I believe, over 85 short films, and they're all rooted in Arabic heritage. It was so beautiful.
Are they all like made by like local
yes.
filmmakers?
Yeah, the food businesses that were there, they were all homegrown businesses. But
wow.
The event, it was so interesting. And you know why it was even more interesting? This is kind of what piqued my interest. It's, you know, I was covering the event. I mean, I was filming for them. And I remember I stumbled across this 20-year-old girl. And we started talking. And I'm like, oh, like, you know, how did you become a part of the organizers of this event? Because she was the youngest person there, so it piqued my interest. And then she told me that, you know, the Global Astronomy's account, they like make a lot of astronomy events like all over the UAE. She told me that it's her family. She said that her dad, yes, exactly. She said that her dad, he's Yemeni, they're Yemenis, and that they're actually, like, their entire family organizes the events. So, like, her older sister is, like, in charge of the media. She speaks to the media. And then her and her other sister, they're, like, a part of the event organizers. They put things
so
in place.
So it runs in the business, like, in the
it
family.
It runs in the family. And so that family lore went so deep for me. I was like, wow. Like, who knew? And she went, like, you know, we did events in Abu Dhabi, in Sharjah. So they're, like, everywhere. So that for me was really interesting.
That's really interesting.
The fact
honestly.
That it's a family business and they go everywhere together. But that girl, what was even more interesting about her, her name was Amina. She was lovely. I truly think she's a genius. I met her when I was basically looking at the moon through the telescope. Yeah, you could see, like, Mars, Juniper.
Oh, I really want to
It was,
experience
you should
this.
Really go. So it ends in January 12, I believe. But basically, when I was speaking to her, I was like, oh, like, do you go to university? She does not go to university. She said, I started my career early, now.
And but I think that's a good thing, you know, like,
yeah?
Lots of family businesses, like, because you get to learn from the real world.
Mm.
You know, like, some people, they do well without actually going to the university. I think it's really interesting.
Right? I do agree with you.
And you're saying she's a genius, so I think she has like the capability to handle.
I think she has the capability, and you know, I was in university not so long ago, so being good at it is actually its own thing. If you're good at it, it doesn't necessarily entail.
You mean you'll succeed in the real world.
Yes,
you know, it's
it doesn't
way
mean
different
that.
Experience. Even like
so
at
different.
School, the people who scored the highest grades doesn't necessarily mean they will actually do better.
And it is completely true because I knew a lot of people in school who, you
well,
know.
Well, I'll tell you something. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Well in school. But when
really?
When I went to university, I did like top. Because it was in something that I understand, something that I'm
What
really
did you
good
study,
at.
Nada?
I studied journalism, actually.
Oh, okay. Amazing.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, in school, like, I hated science.
You
science
hated
subjects.
Science?
Yeah.
And wow.
That's why I didn't do well in them. But whenever it's something I'm interested in, I usually do well.
Did you do well in writing when you were in school? Or is that something that
took
you
time to
develop?
That was one of the things that I was better at. then. But okay. I still needed to develop that through university. So university was still helpful. I'm not going to say no. I'm not saying don't study it, guys. Yeah.
Okay, and now for our first topic of today. So Biden has notified the American Congress that they are drawing up an $8 billion weapons deal for Israel amid the Gaza genocide.
And this is just, I think, before his leaving his presidency.
Exactly before leaving his presidency, which is very, very interesting. Now, the proposed sale includes $6.75 billion worth of precision-guided missiles and small bombs, $300 million in 155 millimeter artillery shells, and $600 million in Hellfire missiles, and $300 million in Amram air-to-air missiles. Now, when I'm reading this, when I'm really reading this,
it's overwhelming. Honestly.
Not only is it extremely overwhelming, but it's you know, I'm getting this very keen awareness of how dangerous this is. It's so dangerous because, you know, the statistics that have just recently come out on Gaza, you know, over 45,000 people were killed, over 100,000 were wounded. And, you know, this is the kind of, you know, this is where the U.S. is putting its money.
Yeah, it's crazy. And, you know, like sometimes, I remember like a while back, I've seen U.S. citizens who were really upset because they needed like support in their infrastructure, and especially they had like recently, not too long ago, like a couple of hurricanes and tornadoes and that, and they didn't receive as much aid from the government as much as they're like paying for these things.
It is crazy. Yeah. It is absolutely crazy. And you know, just recently, Nader, I actually saw a video on Love in Palestine of this young man, and he was crying over his mother.
I've seen it.
Yeah, like, over the morgue. He was knocking on the door of the morgue, and he was crying over his mother. And it was so unfortunate to see, you know, what Palestinians are going through. And to just see these numbers, it really does make me emotional.
Yeah, it really hits like deep.
It does. It really does. And on our second topic for the day, sorry guys, this really made both of us very emotional.
Yeah.
We took a very long pause there because it is very disappointing to see. You know, we're seeing the numbers, we're seeing how a lot of people are affected, but this is how Biden chooses to spend American money before he leaves. And it's so interesting that it's right before he leaves.
It's the last thing he wants to do. Like, it's very important to him.
And he did express that it was very important to him.
Yeah.
He expressed it multiple times. And now for our second topic for the day.
Also is a bit heartbreaking as well.
Mm.
It's about the Assad regime who bombed Aleppo. So the Syria war has been, like, it went on for 14 years. And during these 14 years, the Assad regime bombed Aleppo for years. And they profited from the scrap metals.
Yes, they did.
That went out through the bombing. You know, it's crazy to me, like, the amount of money they're making from this war that they went through. And
it's truly
how
insane.
How they benefited from it. It's like
it is. And if you if you go into the topic a little bit more, so the specific army that is actually in charge of actually profiting from these metal scraps, it's actually the elite army unit that's controlled by Bashar al-Assad's brother, Maher al-Assad. He is the one who specifically monopolized the scrap metal trade in Aleppo. So it actually functioned as industrial power brokers, profiting from the war's destruction constantly.
I don't know if you've seen the clips of like the exotic cars that they have.
I did. Yeah, their home. Their home is absolutely insane. The cars. I believe there was Rolls Royce.
There's
Bentleys.
Also one Ferrari. I forgot the name of it. Particularly, it's 1 out of 100 pieces in the world. So like,
it's crazy.
The amount of exotic cars they had. Keep in mind, most of the Syrians there lived in under poverty line.
More than
90% lived under poverty line. So it's crazy to see like these exotic cars. It's something crazy.
And not just that, even his wife actually, you know, when they actually broke into their home, they'd found a lot of Kellys and Birkins. And if you know Hermes, that is extremely expensive, especially, you know, especially Birkins and Kellys that have a crocodile skin on them. They're really expensive bags. They can go up to 100,000 dirhams.
So basically, they just lived in luxury while most people were suffering.
Lived in luxury while most people struggled. Now, back to the story again. So what the financial gains were that dealers bought the metal for, it was sold for 750 to 1,000 Syrian pounds, and it was also sold to smelting plants at higher rates to up to
4,500, and that's per kg, so like 750 to 1,000 Syrian pounds per kg, which is really cheap, and selling it about 4.5 times more expensive, like 4.5 times higher at a higher price, which is it's crazy. Like, so they made like millions of dollars just from scrap metals alone.
From basically the bombings that were constantly happening. And finally, for our final topic of today, it was actually announced that Saudi Arabia's film industry has earned $19.2 million in 2024, led by the Night Courier film. Now, you know, Nadir, when I'm seeing this, this is so special because I truly believe this in my heart. Saudi Arabia, it's the rising country of the century. They are rising in absolutely everything.
Yeah.
And you know, just recently we found out that they're going to be hosting the World Cup in 2034. Now we're seeing that they're making such huge progress in film. Are you seeing the progress that they're making in sports?
In everything, actually.
I'm always catching up with smashy sports, and I'm seeing the amazing progress that they're making. The players that they have. They have amazing players.
They have, like, who would have imagined that these players would be a Saudi team?
No, seriously,
and
who would have
like,
imagined
recently
that?
I've seen clips of Ronaldo Jr. Going out with Saudis, and he started to learn Arabic, and he's going out to, with camels.
I'm always seeing it. I'm always seeing it. It's so cool. But, you know, all those players, Ronaldo, Neymar, Benzema, you know, they all went to Saudi Arabia, and now they're having such a huge milestone in film. So actually, it was released specifically that in 2024, Saudi Arabia's film industry released 13 films across 65 cinemas, earning them this $19.2 million. So what we're seeing here is that they're diversifying, and they're diversifying in every single sense. In every single sense, they're not leaving any stone unturned. And that's what I love about them, you know, in every single
field.
That's
really great to see, like, countries just rising in everything. And it's really interesting to see, especially, like, I have lots of Saudi friends, and to see them, like, just because I see them always proud of their achievements, it makes me happy.
And you know what? Actually, my best friend, she's Saudi, and I always speak to her, and she tells me about the beautiful rights that they receive. Like, she was telling me that actually, if she gets married to a Saudi, a fellow Saudi like her, they will actually receive a plot of land. And that's something so beautiful. That's something so amazing. So Saudi Arabia, you know, not only are they accommodating for their free market, they're really building a market, but they are still supporting their people. Even just very recently, actually, a report came out by the Financial Times, and what there's actually a rise in employment for women. So they're coming far in every single aspect. They're coming far in every single aspect. But what do you think there's something else going on with film? And
on the note of that now we're talking about film, Abu Dhabi Film Commission announced multifaceted enhancement to 35% rebate program. So it's really interesting that we see that the Middle East, especially the Gulf area, that they're working a lot on the film industry.
And basically what it is that they actually also announced a maximum rebate. So not only did they raise it from 30 to 35%, but however, there is a potential increase to companies receiving a 50% rebate based on a points-based system in a specific criteria.
I think
criteria.
This is like a boost for local talents. You know, like there's extra rebates for if you're using Emirati writers, Emirati actors and directors.
So this supports their Emiratization.
Yeah,
targets.
Exactly. So this is also, like you mentioned Saudi about how they're getting, and also UAE, like, even from like they want to have the like the youth and the locals just get into the industry, because it's a really powerful industry.
It is. And just to give you all a bit more context, essentially what this rebate is that anybody who's producing a film in Budabi, depending on the amount of money that they put into producing this film, they could basically get 30 to 50% of the production expenses back. Which is so great. I mean, this in itself, not only is it actually going to push for more foreign films to come into the country. You know, we saw how they filmed Dune here, Mission Impossible. But
this would also push for the Emirati talents to be in the film.
And they're not only are they going to be in the films, but they're taking part in films that are, you know, from foreign influence. You know, I'm not one to deny this. The West makes beautiful films. They really, really do.
They have
do.
Really good films.
They really, really do. And they're directors, they're actors. So for Emiratis to get the opportunity to actually be a part of these films, that is amazing experience.
And this, I think, builds like the industry here itself, because these talents will learn from the best in the industry.
Of course.
And later on, I think they will, at some point, hopefully, they will start to compete with them.
Of
so this is, I think, a plan, a strategy they're working
and
on.
And I think even the event that I just recently went to, Al Marmoum Film in the Desert, I actually watched so many films, and they were like from different Arab cultures. My favorite one was actually a Syrian one. But it was, you know, they are coming far. They are getting there. And, you know, I'll tell you something, Nadir. Of course, I watch so many Western movies, but my favorites are actually Bollywood and Arabic films. I love Arabic
films.
They have
like, especially even if the production is not as high, like the story itself.
They're always so emotional.
Yeah,
they're
they have something to it that you can't sense in like Western movies. Like that's why I prefer Arabic.
I think we might be a bit biased.
Yeah,
because
honestly,
we're
biased. I'm not gonna say.
I think we're a bit both biased because of the fact that, by the way, like yes, I speak English all the time, but for some reason, it's actually only Arabic that touches my heart.
Yeah.
Like if you really speak to me, like when I watch something in Arabic, there's just something about it.
It's an emotional language.
It is. Yeah. It is. And there's like an added value there.
And even I can say like the production is way high. Like last Ramadan, I was watching this Emirati series called Al-Boom.
Al-Boom?
Al-Boom is like a name they used to give to big ships. They used to go for trading in India.
Wow.
But the production was really amazing.
Where is it streamed?
Abu Dhabi TV. So.
Okay.
So it was really beautiful. Like I really enjoyed every single second of it. And it was 15 episodes only. Well, not like the usual 30. I was kind of sad that it finished very quickly, but I enjoyed every single second.
And the reason why I specifically asked where is it streamed, it's because there's actually a lot going on with the streaming platforms in the Middle East. So, like, number one, if we start with the NBC, you know that Saudi Arabia's public investment fund actually bought out more than 50% of the NBC. I believe the number was specifically 54%.
Yeah.
But That's a crazy acquisition, and not just that.
More than half.
More than half of it. And when you actually take more than half of a company's a stake, Nadir, what will happen is that you can actually make the standing decisions. You know, I always tell people this: like, you don't want to give up. You don't want to give up more than 50. You don't want to give up more than 50 of your company, because that means that someone else...
Yeah, even you're in businesses, like the one who makes the decision, even if it's just 51%, like if we open up a company and I have 51, you have 49, I'm the one who makes the decisions.
Of course, yes. you have more stake in it.
So even if it's just 1% difference, it's like still...
And not just that, actually, also with Anghami is actually the company that has the most stake in it is OSN. But NBC also has a very quiet stake in it. So it's very interesting, you know, the dynamic between all of these streaming platforms here in the Middle East. And they are on a rise. They are on a rise, and they are doing really well. Like, I just very recently, my sister told me that she bought a subscription in OSN. I'm getting bored of Netflix. I'm getting bored of Netflix. I need something new.
I canceled my subscription way long ago. But I
really?
Still, yeah.
Why?
It just got so boring to me, honestly. I don't see that. Like, maybe now they're watching it again because of Squid Games. But I'm not going to subscribe to it. I'm not really interested in some, because I probably pay just to watch this one series. But like the Arabic streaming platforms, they're gaining more popularity, like Shahid and...
Yes, and they are. Shahid is gaining more popularity. And with that being said, thank you so much for watching, everyone. It was lovely having you today, Nadir.
Thank you. And I really enjoyed being here today.
It was lovely having you. This is Smashy Business Show, a Smashy Business production under the Augustus Media Podcast Network. You can find our newsletter on Smashy TV. And as always, you can find us on Instagram, LinkedIn, X, and YouTube. Thank you so much for watching, everyone. Have a beautiful day.
Have a nice day.